We're going to have our scripture reading, and our scripture reading tonight is from the Gospel of Luke, on the chapter 16. Gospel of Luke, on the chapter 16. I was contemplating what to preach here tonight in the Gospel service, and I remember I was here a few months ago, and I preached a shorter version of this text in Luke chapter 16, but I really did feel the Lord again was pressing this upon my heart, pressing me to preach this message. So this is the longer version, and we trust the Lord will bless it to all of our hearts this evening. But Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, and we want to begin our reading there at the verse number 19. And there the Word of God says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that will come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his own public word to all of our hearts. Let us bow now in prayer, and let us seek the Lord before we come to the preaching of his own precious word. Let us bow in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we do rejoice in thy grace and thy mercy that has already been extended to us in this meeting. And we thank thee, O Father, for the salvation that thou hast given. And Lord, it is all of sovereign grace. It is all of thy mercy. And Lord, I pray then tonight that according to thy will and according to thy good pleasure, that thou would extend that mercy in this meeting tonight. That some sinner would come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that thou would show them their need, and that they would be saved. Draw near unto us now, Father. We pray, O Father, that the word would have the victory, that the devil would be cast out of this meeting, and the Lord Jesus Christ would be preeminent. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. To turn again to that book of Luke in the chapter 16, and there we'll find our text for this evening. In verse 23, but of course we'll be considering a few verses from this passage, but it says there, And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Well, here is something that we see commonly in the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 16. For here we see the Lord have another encounter again with the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were one of the religious representations of the Jews in those days, and they offered their teachings unto the people, and they were a popular faction. And you know, so many instances we see that their teaching was accepted and it was embraced as truth. Their teaching was popular among the people, and many embraced what they had to say about the things of the Word of God and the things of the Bible. And yet so many times we see these men who would have claimed they knew the Old Testament Scriptures and knew the law, so many times we see them in conflict with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, they come into conflict with his claims, with his actions, and they very especially came into conflict with the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And their contempt for him got to such an extent that there was even one occasion where they were going to take his life. They wanted to stone him. They wanted him dead. They wanted him off the scene. And as we come here to Luke chapter 16, we have another revelation of these Pharisees with regard to their attitude to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says in Luke 16, verse 14. It says there, "And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him." And we have an insight into the heart of these men. The Lord knows the heart, and the Lord knew their heart, and the Lord knew the evil that was in it, and the Lord knew that they were covetous men, and we see their desires. They were covetous. They wanted worldly possession. They wanted goods. They wanted to have some sort of esteem in society. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ had rebuked these men again. And his teaching had come into their face and into their heart, and they were rebuked. Because look what Christ says in Luke 16, verse 13. "No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." And here's the thing that would strike at their very heart. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon there has the thought of money, of riches, of substance, of worldly possessions. And the Lord Jesus Christ is therefore saying, ye cannot serve God, and ye cannot serve that which you desire. And therefore these men did not serve God at all. They were not the servants of God. In fact, they were rebels to God. And these men were serving these things. And how did they react to the Lord? How did they react to his teaching? Well, they derided him. We've seen that in verse 14. They had this awful attitude to what Christ had just said to them. They derided him. They rejected him. They sneered at what he taught. And see, the Lord Jesus Christ saying, unable to sober such men as these, not through lack of power, but through their own want of sin, moves on then to another reality. And this is one of the great realities in all of Scripture. And this is something that's solemn. This is something that will make even the greatest saint of God tremble. Because Christ then moved on with these men, and he says to them, really, in reality, if you don't consider your ways, if you do not leave the attitude that you have to me behind, and that covetous attitude behind, in reality, then you're going to go on that path, and you're going to find yourself in hell. This is the reality that they now had to face. And you see, if you're not saved in this meeting tonight, this is the reality that you have to face, because you're on a path that is not a path to heaven. You're on a path that is going to lead you straight into hell and straight into the same condemnation that these men were headed to. This is the end of all those who are not saved. It is a lost eternity. In Luke chapter 16, we have this great theme before us, because we have a theme that will stretch forth into the time and into eternity. Because here we have one man go to heaven and one man go to hell. And when all is said and done, that's all that's going to matter. Whether you go to hell or whether you go to heaven. And where will you go when the Lord Jesus Christ returns? Will you go to heaven or will you go to hell? And you know, so many times the Lord Jesus Christ has spoken about hell in the Scriptures. And you'll find liberal theologians will criticize the Lord here. They'll say that, well, it's cruel to teach such a thing, and it's cruel to teach such a thing to children, and it's cruel to say this to people from a pulpit. You're only scaring them, you're only doing this to them. And they say this is a great blot on the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet is it not mercy that he would warn us of such a place? Would it not be crueler to not tell us of the place where the damned go? Here we have what is called the intermediate state. This is the place where sinners go, where their souls go upon waiting the final resurrection. This is the place that the Bible here calls hell. When we look at this passage and we not only are told about hell, but we're going into the very realm of hell. We're going into the place that the Lord has spoken of. We're going to that place where the damned are. And we here get the experiences of this rich man, this damned man. That's what we'll speak about this evening in this gospel series, this gospel message, the experiences of a damned soul. The experiences of a damned soul. The first thing we see here in this text is his experience of life. You see, we have an insight into the experience that this man had of this life and of this world. And many people have various experiences. Everybody seems to be living for experience. Everybody wants to experience something. And no doubt we have sinners in the meeting. And your desire is to experience pleasure and experience the world and experience all that it has to offer you. Maybe you're young and you say, well, I want to live a little. And yet we see a man here who had these experiences and he ended up in hell. And his life's experience was worth nothing in the face of the great eternity. And look at this man's life here. We see this man had much physical comfort. The Bible describes this man as a rich man. In verse 19, we're told that this man was clothed in purple linen. And the idea here of the Greek, if you read it in the original, and I'll tell you what it means really, but if you read it in the original, the idea here is that this man wore this garment every day. This was the garments of kings. Purple linen. This man wore it every single day. This gives us an idea of the riches that he had. He was a rich man. He wore the attire of royalty. He had all that he ever wanted. And the Bible tells us here, he fared sumptuously every day. He wanted for nothing. He had food in his belly. He had clothes on his back. He had comfort. And he would have said he had joy. He had all he needed. He had ease in life. He had no worries whatsoever as far as these things were concerned. And this is only highlighted to us as we look at the man that lay at his gate. And you know, we see here a man who was called Lazarus. And he lay at the gate of this rich man. And his life was very different in a physical sense. The Bible tells us he lay there with sores. And all he really wanted was just crumbs. Oh, just a crumb from the rich man's table. Just a small amount to ease my hunger. And he just wanted a crumb. Just a small thing. We know this man would have had plenteous on his table. All the food that he would ever need. And all Lazarus wanted off it was a crumb. And he received not. And what did he receive? He received dogs coming to him. And in biblical times, dogs were not good creatures. And they're not clean creatures. And they come to this man. And the Bible tells us they licked his sores. And it made his suffering all the worse. This man had nothing. He went with empty hands to that man's gate. And he left that man's gate with empty hands. And you know, the Pharisees would have been in awe of the rich man. Can you imagine these men? These were covetous men. Can you imagine them looking at this man, and they would have said, oh, that's our type of man right there. And this was the man that they wanted to be. And they wanted to be the rich man. They wanted the riches. They wanted the comfort. They wanted the lifestyle that he had. They wanted it all. And they were so covetous. Can we imagine them here? And they had in their religion a thought that a man who is rich was a man who is favored of God. They thought this man was favored of God. They thought the Lord had his hand upon this man. And see, we look at this description of him, and we see a man favored of God. And no, we don't, because this here text in Luke 16 only serves to show us one thing, that this man was a wicked man, this man was a rebellious man, this man was a lawless man in the sight of God. And we see it here by his treatment of Lazarus. It was very clear in the scriptures, this man knew Lazarus, because he calls him Lazarus when he's in hell. He knew him. He knew him by the name. He saw this man, Lazarus, and the Lord had made a wonderful provision on his table, and there was a provision for Lazarus on the table of the rich man, and yet Lazarus did not receive a thing of it, and this shows the attitude this man had. He had no mercy for his neighbor. This shows him to be lawless. Matthew 22, verse 39, the Savior gives a summary of the commandments, and look what he says. And the second is like unto this. This is the second part of the commandments. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. See, then this man shows his absolute wickedness, shows his lawlessness, he shows his rebellion to God. And you see, one thing that life is only going to show you as you experience it, it's only going to show you you're a lawless person. It's only going to show you that you're a wicked person. It's only going to show you that you're a person who acts contrary to God and all that God is. This man didn't go to hell because he was rich. This man went to hell because of who he is and what he did. This was a wicked man. This man had received many things. What did Abraham say to him? Thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. You see, the Lord was good to him. And in the Bible, we would define this as common grace. You see, the Lord even provides for wicked men in this world. And we look at it and we say, well, why does that man have so much money and possessions? Because God is good. God is gracious to them that are wicked. And he gives them temporal provision. Look what Psalm 145 verse 9 says. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. You see, one thing we will say then tonight is the Lord made a provision for this man. And why does the Lord make a provision for this world? Why would he provide things for people in a world such as this? You see, the Lord does it because the Lord has a redemptive plan for this world. And he provides for the wicked, and he provides for his saints, and he provides for them that life may go on. And then he will accomplish his plan for the nations. You see, then we see the Lord has spared you. And he's made a provision for you. And he's kept clothes on your back. He's made you comfortable. And the Lord has done that because the Lord has a redemptive plan. Maybe you've seen that. You've seen family members saved. You've seen loved ones saved. You've seen people changed by the gospel. And yet still, you're not saved. And you're not ready. Maybe in this meeting tonight there are families at the day of Christ who are going to be divided and separated. Will you take heed to the gospel tonight? And you know, you're maybe like so many in our land, or maybe like the Pharisees, or maybe like this modern society, you covet more. People are never content. They're never happy with what the Lord gives, and they want more. And they want more money, more comfort, more things to make my life better. And they consider all of these things. And they don't consider their soul. And they don't consider that their soul is on its way to hell. And they don't consider the fact that they need Christ. And this man then was slack with his soul. And you know, this was a religious man, this rich man. He was religious. He had a religion. He was. Because he says in hell unto Abraham, Father Abraham. That was a common title in those days of the Jews. They all called Abraham Father Abraham. And this would strike again at the Pharisees, because they imagined that because they were born of Abraham and because they were physical descendants of Abraham, they imagined that they were going to heaven. They said, well, I'm a Jew, so I'll go to heaven. That there guarantees me to get to heaven. And so many make that mistake today. They think all the Jews are going to be saved. And that's not the truth, because this man was a Jew and he's in hell. He cried unto Abraham, Father Abraham. He relied on something. He relied on his natural generation. He relied on something that would not see him into heaven. And if you rely on anything else than that which is revealed in the Word of God, then you're damned. And who are the true children of Abraham? Well, Galatians 3 verse 6 tells us. It says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And this is the important part. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. This man missed one vital fact of the gospel. The true children of Abraham, the true children of God, are those of faith. And without faith in Jesus Christ tonight, and not alone, you're lost. This man had all these experiences of comfort, and he didn't have the greatest experience of all. The experience of God's salvation in Jesus Christ. Will you have that experience tonight? Will you come to Christ? Will you put your faith in him? Will you know him? Because without that, you're damned. That's his experience of life. I have two more things to say and I'll fly through them. That's his experience of life. The second thing we see is his experience of condemnation. You see, this man was condemned. And we had a life that so many would want, and so many in a society like this would want. And yet when all is said and done, this man finds himself in the place of condemnation without Christ. This is the end of the wicked. And you know, the condemnation of God is in this meeting tonight. Because the condemnation of God is on you right now. As you're on your seat, as God sees you, he can react with his wrath, and his condemnation is upon you. Jesus Christ said in John 3 verse 18, he that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You're condemned as you sit in this seat tonight. You're condemned already. And you just haven't begun to experience the condemnation of God yet. This man entered into this condemnation. We see it in verse 22. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And Abraham's bosom is just heaven. That's all that is. Abraham's bosom is heaven. The rich man also died. Well, in my opinion, it's heaven. The rich man also died and was buried. See here then, two men that die. Here is the great equalizer when all is said and done. And these men would have had very different burials. But the reality was that they were both dead. They were both gone. Their soul had departed from their body. You see, death is a thing that is coming to all men and to all women. Death will be our portion. And you know, death does not care this evening if you're young. Death doesn't care if you're old. Death doesn't care what plans you have for the future, because the Lord has appointed your death. And the death will come upon you. And upon death, you'll enter into eternity. You can enter into eternity this very night. This could be the last gospel sermon that you're ever going to hear. And your knowledge of death should make you count your days. And think about the gospel, because death in this society has just seemed to be a natural thing. It's so natural to die, people say. Oh, it's just a way of life. They offer people counseling and say, let's get prepared for death. And they try to make them comfortable with dying. You know, death is the most cursed experience that anyone can go through. I fear death. I'm not looking forward to the day where my soul departs from my body. Because it's unnatural. God did not create us and our constitution of body and soul to die. And yet it happened. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, in the face of death, he shrunk back in the face of it. Because death is a fearful thing. Death is a great enemy. And death is coming for you if you're not saved. And you must be ready, because your soul will depart from your body and your soul will go into the great eternity. And this rich man's soul here was in eternity. Read in Luke 16, verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Here is the great reality now. This man is in hell. And that reality one day may dawn in your soul. You may say, now I know where I am. I am in hell. This man would have looked and he would have seen Abraham afar off. And can we imagine then the horror that came upon him? Because he imagined his descendancy from Abraham was enough. And yet he looks and he sees Abraham afar off. And Abraham isn't in the same place that he is in. And there's no doubt to any Jew that Abraham was in heaven. And if Abraham was in heaven, then where was he? And this man then would have said in his soul, I am in hell. I am in that place of the damned. I am the place of condemnation. And will that reality dawn in your soul? Will you say in yourself one day, I am in hell. And I am that place that was spoken of. You will be in hell. And you will be lost forever. This man here was in a conscious experience. He was experiencing the condemnation of God. He was experiencing hell. Look at verse 23. This man cries that he was in torment. Or the Bible tells us he was in torment. And in verse 24, that torment upon his soul, this man then cries out and says, I am tormented in this flame. This man was in a place of suffering. He is experiencing the torment and the flames of hell. Because hell is a place of torment. It is a place of punishment. And we must not get this out of our minds. Because the Roman Catholic Church teaches that the flames here are flames of purgatory. And they say that these flames here are purging flames. They're there to cleanse. And they say they will cleanse the sinner, and then the sinner will get out of the place where they are. These are not cleansing flames here. These are not purging flames. This man doesn't get any better in hell. So many people think that people change in hell. They don't change one bit. They're a sinner in this life. They're a wretch in this life. And they'll be the exact same when they go to hell. Because this man, the Bible tells us, lifted up his eyes. And in the original Greek, that means he gave a dirty look. And he gave a dirty look to Lazarus. He was jealous. He had not changed one bit. These were not changing flames. These were not purging flames. These were flames of punishment. And this man was being punished. And see, hell is a torment because God torments the soul in hell, because God will be there. God will be in hell. And God's presence will be there. And the Bible talks about the fact that a man is separated from God for all eternity. Yes, and what that means is this. A man is separated from all that is good about God. There's nothing good of God in hell. And not because he's unjust, he's just. Because the Lord is holy. And he will not behold iniquity in his sight. And he will pour out his wrath and his righteous anger. And he will punish you in the place of hell. And there was not a moment's relief for this man. Oh, he wanted just a drop of water. He didn't get a drop of water. He had absolutely no relief whatsoever. And you will never have relief. Not a second. You'll never know joy again. You'll never know happiness again. You'll know sorrow upon sorrow upon sorrow and torment upon torment upon torment for all of God's eternity. I want you to see something then, the sinfulness of sin. You see, your sin requires such a punishment. When you sin against God, you incur a debt. And you see, God is infinite. And because you sin against God, an infinite being, that infinite being demands an infinite punishment and an infinite sentence. When you see then the sinfulness of your sin tonight. Thomas Watson, the Puritan, said, "What fools are they for a drop of pleasure? Drink a sea of wrath." Will you drink a sea of wrath before the pleasures of this life? Verse 26, "And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that will come from thence." That's the weight of your sin. You will not pass from the place of condemnation. You will not pass from the place of the damned. Revelation 14:11. I want to give you a summary of your eternity if you die without Christ. It says, "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night." Will that be you? Will you go to where this man went, where you'll have no rest day nor night? I tell you one more thing tonight, one more experience. It's the experience of truth. You see, this man, and I'll say this in a few sentences, this man here was going to have truth taught to him. He was going to be told of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These men were going to be pointed to the way that they could be freed from the condemnation of hell. And they were going to know God's true way of salvation. And they were going to see the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Redeemer of men and of women. And this is what these men needed to hear here. Or this is what the Pharisees needed to hear. They needed to know that they needed to get to Christ. That they needed to be saved. That they needed to flee from the wrath of God and flee to him. This man in verse 31, look what he says there. He says, "And he said unto him," he wanted his family to be saved. And he says to Abraham, "Can you not raise Lazarus from the dead? And surely that will convince them to get saved. If Lazarus was to rise from the dead, surely my family then would get saved." But look what Abraham says in verse 31. "And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." What a reality that is. This gives us an idea of the power of the truth of the gospel. I could resurrect a person from a grave, and yet that'll never convince anybody to get saved. Because that's not how God ordains it. That's not God's way. God's way is through the scriptures of truth and through the preaching. And here they're pointed to Moses and the prophets. And what did they witness of? Acts chapter 26, verse 22 and 23. Look what it says there. "Having therefore attained help of God, and continue unto this day, witnessing to both small and great, saying on other things that those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead." What was the witness of the Old Testament and of Moses and the prophets? It was this, of Jesus Christ, and that he should die, and that he should be the first to rise from the dead. And that just simply means he's the first to raise by his own inherent power. Here is the witness of Scripture. Here is the truth you need, and this is the truth you're experiencing on a pew tonight. And you're more blessed than this man, because this man experienced the truth when it's too late. It's not too late for you. Here is the truth. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. And he bore an infinite amount of wrath there. And I can't explain that. That's a mystery. That's a gospel mystery. But he bore an infinite amount of wrath upon the cross. And therefore that means if you come to him tonight, there is no condemnation. There is no more wrath. You'll not be going to that place of the damned, but you'll be set to go to heaven. And you'll be set to go to glory. Will you come to Christ tonight? Will you embrace that wonderful truth of the gospel? A truth that can deliver you from hell? Or will you be like this rich man? One day you'll lift up your eyes in hell, and it'll be too late, and your soul will be damned. Let us bow in prayer. And ask the Lord now to bless us as we part one from the other. Consider those matters that have been spoken of in the message tonight. And if you would like to speak to me after the meeting in regard to your soul or the matters that have been spoken of, maybe something wasn't clear and you want me to make it clear to you, well, come and see me after the meeting. I'll be at the door and I'll be very happy to speak to you about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us bow and let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we do thank thee for our great Saviour. We thank thee, O Father, that he went to the cross, that he bore our sins in his own body in the tree. And Father, he has known the sufferings of hell. He has known, O Father, the sufferings in his own soul that were due unto us. And I pray, O God, tonight then that thou give the deciding grace. O Father, grant the gift of faith that some sinner might embrace the Lord Jesus, that they might know the salvation that he offers, that they might come into union with him. And we thank thee, O Father, that those who are in Christ will receive no condemnation. O Father, help us now. Give grace. Part us now with thy fear and thy mercy. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost abide. Amen. Amen.